You know how the world has been frightened by Peter's statement about the end of the world. And we've had all kinds of fanatical teachings about the dire consequences. For some reason, we've forgotten to look a little ahead in Peter, where he tells us something else very important, which is related to his end of the world prophecy. Here's what he tells us, speaking of the flood of Noah, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heaven and the earth which are now, by the same word, are here in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You see, he's telling us, he's giving us a pre-announcement of what happens after the end of the world. The heavens and the earth are held in store, so that as the end of the world of concept occurs, there is a new heaven and a new earth. The world of concept is the world of ungodly men. And as it passes away, the new heavens and the new earth come forth. Here they are. But the heavens and the earth which are now, you see, they're in the now, not in passing time. They are eternal. By the same word, are kept in store. The word of God holds them, maintains them in perpetual perfection, reserved unto fire, which is the love of God, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then shortly thereafter, there's this prediction about heavens and earth rolling up like a scroll. In all of this, there is always a still voice in us which says, but what is expected of me? What am I to do? I hear it, but what am I to do? And as that voice pops up in each of us, here is what you are to do. As long as you are living in a mind, debating about whether the world will end or will not, whether radiation will sweep the world or will not, whether all the atoms will nucleate and disappear with one grand swish or will not, those who know are saying it will. But they are also saying that whoever has found Christ before it does will begin a new generation and will live in the kingdom of heaven on earth as the new heaven and the new earth appears. Now that new heaven and earth will be the new consciousness of man showing itself forth as the new heaven and earth, just as the present consciousness of man externalizes as this world. And so what you're to do is to learn from the experience of the Bible teachers who are carefully showing us the consequences of not finding Christ. And here are some of the consequences. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no more place for them. Now, earth and heaven, in this context, mean this world. Our present concept of the world is earth and heaven, and it's fleeing away from this great white throne which he is seeing on the other side of the veil. The great white throne is the will of God. And all those who are living in that will, with one purpose, to follow that will. And as they live in that will, this heaven and this earth flees from them, meaning all sense of matter and materiality and mortality is dissolved. Only in the will of the Father are you released from the illusions of the world. This great white throne, the will of God in you, is the only way to the new heavens and the new earth. And I saw the dead, small and great. That means the masses of people and their leaders. That means the small fry and the big fry. It means those who know so much and those who know so little. It means everyone in mortal flesh. I saw the dead, those who call themselves mortals, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now we're learning about sowing and reaping. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. In other words, did you come to a place before death of the knowledge that you are not in a human form, but are the Christ self invisible? That's the opening of the book. Where is your consciousness at the moment of so-called second death? Is it in Christ, or is it in mortality? And you know, we're getting very close to answering that question, well, what am I supposed to do? What you're supposed to do now is this. As long as you have two, you're not doing it. And when you have only one, you're doing it. As long as you have God and a human race, God and people, God and anything, God and you, you're not doing it. You're still among the dead. Because there isn't God and anyone. There's only God. And as long as you find something in your life that is imperfect, you're insisting that there's God and. Because being God alone means there can be no imperfection. Therefore, when you accept any imperfection, you're denying God is the all and only. And so that's the answer to what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to be true to the fact that only God is. And therefore, there is no other one. God has no opposite. And that which is imperfect is not happening, except in an image, in time and space, made of atoms, called the dead or mortal self. Get yourself out of that image. And while you're doing it, get your brother and your neighbor and your mother out of that image. When the Bible tells you leave mother, father, brother for my sake, it doesn't mean leave home. It means don't hold them in the false concept of physical form. Take them out of the image universe. Don't think of them as mortal beings. Know who they are. They're not in bodies of atoms as they appear to be. God is all. God is not in a dying body. So if that helps you clarify what you're to do, you are to be faithful to the allness of God. And in your fidelity to the allness of God, you cannot also accept anything that denies the allness of God. That should be clear. So you've got a constant inner prayer, a constant inner watchfulness without ceasing to know that God being all, only perfection is. And the moment you have accepted the suggestion of imperfection anywhere in anyone, including in yourself, you are not being faithful to the one. And you're in a separated sense of life. You're back into the body of atoms. You're living in the mortal sense of self. and for you the Christ teaching has not taken root, for which you are not to be condemned, for there are four kinds of seed. But those who will be the remnant, the 7,000 not bowed down to Baal, those who will march into a new experience called transition, they are the ones who attain 100-fold, not 30, not 60. But they can reach that level of consciousness which accepts only the one, and they abide in the one consciousness. That seems rather harsh, because it says here, I saw the dead, small and great, the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Not what they said, not their affirmations and denials, according to their works. Did we abide in the one consciousness, or were we in the divided consciousness which thinks there's something wrong around here? Could we look through the war, the disease, the disaster, and say God is not in it? This is in the world of atoms. This isn't in the kingdom of God, and there's no second to the kingdom of God. If we cannot, then when the books are opened, which is a symbolism for, where is your consciousness at the moment of so-called death? If your consciousness is in the one, the second death does not touch you, because you're part of the first resurrection, who have accepted that there is only one. His name is God. God is the life. And I and the Father are that life. There is no other. And therefore I am perfect as my Father, for we are the only one life there is. This is the purified consciousness which is written in the book of life. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Now then, if you're not in the purified consciousness, accepting only the one as the only life, and there is no second life, if you're not in it, it is said you're cast into the lake of fire. And this is the love of the Father, which says nothing unlike my perfection can exist. And so we're going to have to wash you cleaner. We're going to have to bathe you in the Spirit a little deeper. For you, it'll be a second death. But it's necessary, because when you step out of this universe into the universe that is, you must be without flaw. And the Bible, the prophets, the Christ, the disciples are giving us every opportunity to finally accept their teaching that God is all. And if in us there is still a wriggly serpent who says there's still a me too, don't say you haven't been told. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, fortunately, there's one or two or 10 or 400,000 who are in this harvest time, and they are living in the consciousness of one, making every effort to know that God is all, Spirit of God, I am, and beside God there is no other. John, having been one of those, he could now say, at this point, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. This then is the culmination of our experience in the first heaven and earth, or meaning this world, this mortal consciousness. And now John is lifted out of the belief in a form of flesh. Literally, he receives the awareness of his spiritual form. He is walking in a form that can never die. But remember the words, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you shall do. Now you're reading your future. The form that shall never die, that walks only in the new heaven and the new earth. John is proving that what Jesus said is right. The world had said, well, Jesus did it, but of course only Jesus. And John says, no, look, I'm doing it too. And Peter will do it. And Paul will do it. And Joel will do it. And more have done it than there are people on this earth already, in higher levels than you and I are going into from here. The new heaven and the new earth, the former things have passed away. Why is there a new heaven and a new earth? In your consciousness, you have outpictured this world. As you come into the consciousness of truth, of spirit, of Christ, of perfection, what will you outpicture? Only the kingdom of God. And that is the new heaven and the new earth. What is it like? Well, you've been walking in it. You've had experiences in it. You know about it. You know the body in the new heaven and new earth has no weight. Man has even seen that when he went to the moon. You know the body in the new heaven and new earth is not subject to disease. You can see that in a healing right here. You know that the new body does not age. You know that it is perpetually young. You know that the new body is totally, perfectly in harmony with all that God is. That it works under infinite law. Are these things mirages? Have we been studying all these years and not reached the understanding that this is the truth? That we are to walk in a new heaven and a new earth? But you can't come into it until you go through the end of this world? Do you see why the end of this world is necessary? God is all. You can't have an imperfect world. It must end. You say, then why did it begin? And the question should be, when did the hypnosis begin? Because the old world never was. It was the belief of that man in the body of Adams. There never was this world. There is only my kingdom. And the realization that there never was this world is the revelation of the new heaven and the new earth. That's when you change universes. Because you have changed consciousness. You have been transformed by the renewing of the mind. You are regenerated. You are reborn into reality. And that is deathlessness. Now, who among us are going to be in this group? None of us know. Well, one thing is certain. There is such a group. They are called the elect. And it is their function to demonstrate the truth taught by Christ on earth. As the truth of their very own being, as John is doing here. And the former things have passed away. What are those former things? Every belief, every experience in the possibility of evil, of error, of discord, of imperfection, of death and disaster, every fear, every hate, every act of violence, because in the new heaven and the new earth, in spiritual consciousness, there is no material world. It isn't, because the presence of a material world is the externalized belief that God is not all. You can never take this little desk here and make it a perfect desk. It would be perfect only if you could take an axe to it and the axe could not penetrate, or if you could take a match to it and you could not burn it. But you cannot make it eternal. And only that which is eternal is perfect. And therefore, only that which is eternal is here at this moment. Only that which is perfect is of God, and God being all, only that which is eternal can be here. Nothing else is here except the eternal self of God. And all that is not the eternal self of God must drop away from your consciousness before you experience the new heaven and the new earth. John walks in it because he too can say, I and the Father are one. Why, Daniel told us the same thing. When he saw the dream of the king with a stone carved out of a mountain without hands, and all of the kingdoms of metal, meaning the material world, were disintegrated by the stone carved out of a mountain without hands, by Christ consciousness. Now, as long as you're in a form, you're not a disciple of Christ. And for you, new heavens and a new earth are just words in a book. As long as you're a disciple of Christ, you're not in a form. And for you, you're in the new heaven and new earth now. This is the new consciousness in which the beginning of a new species is formed that walks in the fourth dimension. Out of the veil, all the former things have passed away. You may find this is your experience within the next 30 years, or sooner. If we pursue the path we've been following faithfully, there's no reason why inside of 5 years we can't have the assurance that I have been chosen to make a transition through the illusion of this world, through the end of the world, into the new heavens and the new earth, where the former things are passed away, where death is no more. Surely that's the purpose of the teaching, isn't it? And if it be the will of the Father, and it be the purpose of the Father, can you not see that it is the ultimate experience for every person who walks the earth? Even those who, as they say, are thrown back into the fire, we know that they will come forth again. So the question before us is, are we two or are we one? Are we matter, hoping to find spirit, or are we spirit accepting spirit as our name and our substance? It's an individual answer that each one gives. And as you answer, so is your experience. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Now we have the holy city, New Jerusalem. When you have accepted one consciousness, you're in the holy city. When you have no consciousness other than the one divine consciousness, you are in New Jerusalem. Not the old Jerusalem where you came into a church, into a temple, and made sacrifices. Not a physical Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is the one divine consciousness of the Father. Undivided. Accepted as your consciousness. And to do that, you must crucify the old one, mustn't you? You have to crucify me, or else there's going to be two. And the way you find the new heaven and the new earth is for only one to be there. Everything that keeps alive the sense of a you is the delay of the crucifixion of the false or dream mortal consciousness . And only those who are willing to lay down their false sense of life accepting that the one consciousness already is can enter the holy city, New Jerusalem. Now in that one consciousness, John is at this moment. Living by grace. Not by personal thought, but Christ liveth his life. You see why it can't be done in a human form? How it can't be done in any form at all? How you must abide in consciousness, feeling the fullness all around you, surrendering to it, accepting its presence, never denying that God is where you stand. Never, by any word, thought, or deed, to deny the presence of God where you stand. And when you can look through every human entanglement, accepting that God is where I stand, the one consciousness is here, then automatically you know that its opposite is not there, and you have discovered the hypnosis of the senses, of the false consciousness, of the little man in the atom body who thinks he's there but isn't. You're believing on the One, which is the Me that is spoken of. When you believe on Me, the works that I do, you shall do. Now you know that every time you violate that belief in the One and its presence and its power by accepting evidence of its absence or its impotence, all you're doing is preparing yourself for a little bath of fire. And I'm phrasing it that way so you know what the facts are. The bath of fire is the love of God which will not let you be imperfect. And as the words of Jesus said to us, every fruit that is on the vine, every vine that is not bearing fruit, must be purged. Let's not turn our backs on the facts, however harsh they may appear to us. For the rewards of the Spirit are worth whatever we put in to attaining those awards. Now, next time, being the last meeting of this class, you must be prepared for some facts that can last, something you can take with you truth you can depend upon. Not just inspirational chaff, but something that you can take with you wherever you are and live by. And you can prepare for that truth. The basis of it will be that God is the substance of your entire being, the substance of your only form, not the one you seem to have, that God is your life, and that there is no you in the form you seem to have. There is no you in the complete picture of time and space. Now, next time, we're going to have to move out of time and out of space. We're going to have to catch the infinite vision of being. We're going to have to know who we are in order to be what we are, and establish a new level of awareness of self so that we can live from that level and not from the level of things that are seen, touched. As I phrased it this way to a person the other day, if you knew, for example, that the stock market is going up in 30 days on a certain commodity and you had the money, you would buy that commodity now, knowing it's going up. Now, if you know that where you're going is the new heaven and the new earth, and you know the truth of it, you know the qualities of it, and then you finally learn that it is not a future event, the new heaven and the new earth has been ever here, just as Peter said, waiting in the wings. It's here, it's now. Why not act from the level of it's here, it's now? Why not learn how to live from that level, just as you would purchase a stock that you know is going up in 30 days? If you know the new heaven and the new earth is present, why not live in it now? And then you'll see that only by living in it now are you accepting that God is all. When you are not living in it now, where are you living? In the belief that God isn't all, and you're trying to attain God, attain the new heaven and the new earth. But it is all. There is. And all that is not it has no existence. And so prepare for that. We want to learn how to live in reality now, not tomorrow. And that is a kind of faith beyond every level that we know. You're going to find this faith well explained in the chapter by Paul in Hebrews, in the 11th chapter. If you will read that and understand the meaning of faith, when you come next time, prepared to see what faith means, we will be able to talk about living in the new heaven and the new earth. Not because we can touch it and feel it and see it, but because we have learned that it is here. And that when I'm not walking in it, I'm walking in a dream. That will be the culmination of the revelation of St. John for us. It will be the 21st and 22nd chapter of the revelation. And your preparation is not only to read those chapters, but to look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in which Paul gives one of the most beautiful explanations of faith that has ever been given to the world. Then we'll be ready for the sea of glass, the one consciousness, which is never divided, which knows no opposite to God, and which can never be defiled by the world. Let's close with a silence today. Now, if you'll take just a few more minutes, forget all about the automobile you're going to get into, get the benefit of today's class. Don't stop being a human being so quickly. Let's hold the spirit of just another few minutes. Now, the me that knows it's 4 o'clock, you see, that fella, someday you're going to catch him, put a little lasso around him. Because that's the fella who doesn't intend to live in the new heaven and new earth, believe me. He's got other plans. And he's also the fella who doesn't know anything about the end of the world. Now, each of us has that little me. Let's leave him home next Sunday. Catch him before you leave. If you got to look all week to find him and leave him home. Sunday, next Sunday being our last class of this year, why don't we meet in the new heaven and the new earth? Let's all try to be present in the new heaven and the new earth as the one consciousness. Let's see if two or more in my name has a power. If you walk through this door next week in the one consciousness, and I do, and your neighbor does, we will all be gathered in the name of Spirit. In the new heaven and in the new earth, and it may reveal to us that which could not be revealed any other way. And so the nature of next week's message is going to depend a great deal on the consciousness that we bring with us. How high do we want to go? I leave that with you with the hope that we will be one in consciousness, and that the Spirit, which seeth in secret, will reward us openly with the truth that we can live by wherever we go. For those of you who for some reason cannot be here next Sunday, I can't tell you how much your presence has meant, how grateful we all are, and how the blessings and warmest wishes we have go with you. There'll be an announcement about when classes do resume, sometime in the early part of the year. And for those of us who will conclude this revelation next Sunday, please bring with you the highest level of consciousness you can. Work at it. This can be a very important class. Thanks very much.